Hi, readers. I'm Katie.
And I'm Sarah.
And we are bookish like that. We're back recording. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
The holidays suck you dry.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why, but this year I was not interested in doing anything.
Yeah.
I barely even decorated my house. We had a tree and I put stockings up like 3 days before Christmas. Yeah. And that was it.
Probably just because it's busier in life.
I was a Scrooge McDuck. Not a fan.
We did everything, but putting it up was a real beast.
I was excited to take it all down, too.
Oh,
I was like, man. Get the hell out of here, Christmas, with your cheer.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't interested. Not interested. I didn't want to do any of the parties. I didn't want to do any of the things.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why.
You're depressed.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I take medicine for that, though.
It's just one of those times it didn't work that well.
Needed up my dosage. But no, I wasn't interested. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And well, now it's over. And I'm like, well, now that Christmas is over, there's no reason for it to be cold outside.
I'm always kind of happy it's over, but because it's so much. And you're like, whew, got through all that. But also, Katie, we live in Texas. It's not that cold.
No, okay, but it's too cold to like do the things.
We have days it's 83.
But it, then next day
it's 50. Yeah.
And you can't plant anything.
No.
You can't, like, you can be outside one day just enough for it to tease you, and then you have to go inside the next day. I don't like it.
I also don't like that you can't actually plant anything because you don't know for sure if it's going to be 80 or if it's going to be 45.
Or are they going to tell you it's 80 and then it's really 45?
Oh, I know. I hate that. Like, it's supposed to get to 65 and it stays in the 50s. It's like, what? But I guess there's people in the country that's like, what? That's not a hard problem to have.
It is for us. We're very spoiled.
Yeah.
So you're telling me a story today.
Yep.
All right, what is it?
I read Book Lovers. It's a rom-com by Emily Henry.
Okay.
I just found it on Kindle and thought, I'll go for it.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know I need happy books.
Yep.
And I thought it was funny because it's called Book Lovers. And even though it's their lovers, we love books.
Oh.
But she also wrote Beach Read, and what's the other one? We Met on Vacation. I've never read any of those, but I've seen those. Have you read them?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Let me go to my notes. Oh, but this one came out in the middle of 2022, so it's fairly new.
Yeah, newish. Ooh!
I actually wrote notes.
Oh, my gosh.
But I actually didn't finish the notes, but I think it's good enough.
Oh, God.
Okay, so it starts out with Nora. She's a book agent. So she promotes books for authors.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And she's always been reading. She grew up in New York with her little sister and single mom. So she's a city girl.
Love that. Love the single mom part.
Yeah. And so her mom was we go back to their childhood here and there. Like, she talks about it a lot.
Uh-huh.
Her mom was a part-time actress and waitress, but she always talks about it all as, like, so magical, her life growing up in the city with her mom.
That's why I say I like the single mom stories, because to me, you'll get one, like, Jenny and Georgia on TV, where when Georgia was doing good, it was, like she said, she made everything look like magic.
And that's what
this is like. And I think that setup is so fun.
Yeah, that topic keeps coming up in my life lately.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, this one really, like, hit me. But she talks about it a lot in detail and makes it sound so cute. Their little apartment, you know, above a bookstore.
Yeah.
So that's why she loves books. And her mom would drop her and her little sister off at the local bookshop, and that was like their babysitter when she would go to auditions and stuff. And that's where her love of books started. But we start out in the present day, and she's makes it clear she's pretty much a cutthroat businesswoman, and she loves it. She starts talking about how being in the book world, most books become pretty predictable.
Mm-hmm.
She can see where they're going, you know, without any sort of...
You know who else can do that?
You, yeah.
And you know who can't do that?
Me.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm like, I kind of knew. It's like, like a part of me. But she says especially rom-coms, and a lot of her books she promotes are rom-coms, and but she says, she's like talking about it, she's like, the man or the woman always leaves the big city for business and has to go to a small town to save a Christmas tree farm.
And you're surprised every time.
Yeah, sometimes. And then she says, of course, there's a gorgeous human being that helps run the Christmas tree farm. And helps this person see the true meaning of life. And then they should stay in the small town and be with this person. But they do have an evil, frigid girlfriend back in the city,
mm-hmm.
That loves her Peloton bike and lives in heels. And they have to break it to this person. But this person's so frigid and horrible that you don't really feel bad for them, you know?
No.
And she's like, that's me. So that's how it starts out. And you're kind of like, oh, this is fun.
But at least she knows it.
Yeah, this is a fun twist.
I like it when the frigid bitches know that they're frigid bitches. So,
and I love Hallmark movies, and that's like every Hallmark movie in the world. And true. Like every breakup is like, oh, okay, I get it.
You know who's not a fan of Hallmark movies?
You.
Yes.
I love them. I know they're ridiculous.
Why do we match?
I know how it's going to end, but I love them.
I just don't feel like on paper we make much sense.
Some things don't. Opposites, I guess. But we're not opposites in all ways.
No.
But so Nora says she has actually been dumped several times for the small town angel. And she's like so pissed off. And she's like, they're always got to propose. And like, what? She goes, what about dating, bitch? Like, you don't know this person. She's so funny. And so then she's gets dumped. In the, like, present day that we're in, she has to meet with a client. She's, like, 6 minutes late. She's never late. And it's her work nemesis, Charlie. And he ends up turning down the book that she's promoting because he seems so pissed off. And she's like, oh, whatever. Like, I just got dumped and I'm here trying to do this. And she's like, fine, I'll show him. Well, then we skip to 2 years later, and it's one of her best-selling books that she promoted.
Ah.
Yeah.
Charlie.
So she's like, fuck you, Charlie.
Charlie's a really cute name.
Yeah. And so she's walking with her sister in New York. Her sister is Libby. She's 4 years younger, and she's now pregnant with her third child. And they're walking in New York, and the way Nora talks about the city, you end up starting to love New York, too. Like, you get where she's coming from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we listened to a couple podcasts where they podcast in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about, it's kind of like Texas, where it's like, no, that's who you are.
Yeah,
you are
a
Texan. New Yorker, it's Texas, California, and New York. I feel like those states have, like, no, I'm from California.
And they, like, admit the bad. Like, yes. We do, too. But there's, like, you find the good in it, you know?
And even, like, in the other podcasts, they'll be like, we're a proud New Yorker. And, like, you can tell they say it like we say it.
Yeah.
I don't think very many states have that.
She makes it very clear it's in her blood.
Yeah,
like,
love
she
that.
Cannot not be in New York. So, and, like, she doesn't leave it much, you know? Like, she's like, why would I?
There's everything I need here.
Yeah. But she could see her sister, I mean, pregnant with her third child. She's like, her sister is, like, falling apart. She can tell. Like, she's got dark circles under her eyes. She's tired. She's got two other young ones, pregnant with the third one. They're walking, and she feels, like, a distance. Like, she's losing her sister.
Hmm.
There's a distance there. So, you know something's going on.
Like, she feels like the sister's pulling back, or she hasn't been
and
around?
And she's not sure. She says maybe both. Like, okay. She's like, maybe I did something at some point, and I haven't paid attention enough to know what it is, but there's something between us, and that shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And Nora's the kind, like, she was 4 years older, so she helped raise her sister, mm-hmm. and, like, she'll do anything for her. She's like, that's why I work so hard, so I can do stuff for them, her nieces and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only reason she does that, in her mind. And so she's, like, asking her, you know, what's going on. They lost their mom at, like, 16 and 20, so, like, Nora held up Libby, you know, during mm-hmm. that time. But they don't ever say how she died or anything. But she describes herself as the type of reader that always reads the ending first, Nora. She wants to know how it ends, and then she'll know if it's a good book. Libby is the type of reader who never even reads the sleeve. Yeah.
I'm with Libby.
Yeah. She wants to go in with no expectations, and even though rom-coms are Libby's favorite book, they always have a happy ending. Nora wants the ending to be a bit harder. She's like, maybe their life fell apart, but they're still going, and they can get through the good or the bad.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's kind of gives a good description of who they are.
Yeah.
But then on their walk, Libby finally bursts out that she wants to go on a trip. And Nora's like, why? You know, like, why would we leave here? And she wants to go on a month-long trip.
Because, like, by themselves?
Yeah. But then, like, the last week, the kids and the husband come and visit. Because she knows that August is Nora's slow time. Like, all the books have released. She doesn't have to promote them anymore. Like, she has, like, a month.
But why just them? Do we get there?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like, doesn't understand why Libby wants to do this either.
Me either.
Yeah, she's like, she can see her sister's, like, really wanting this. So she wants to give her anything. So she's like, okay, fine. And she's like, okay, good, because I already have it planned.
Here's your ticket.
Yeah.
How come you've never done that for me?
Yeah. So they're going to go to South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Don't take me to South Carolina, though.
And it's where that book that was the bestseller for Nora,
mm-hmm.
that's where it's based, in this little town.
That's cute.
And that's one of Libby's favorite books. So it's the perfect little romance town. That is really cute,
yeah.
And so Nora's like, all right. But she's not that thrilled. But Libby's all bubbly, and she's just like a bubbly person. And she's on their way there, tells her, we have a checklist of things we have to do. And Nora's like, what? And she's like, okay, we got to ride a horse. We got to save a small town business, date a small town boy. We got to skinny dip, sleep under the stars. And Nora's like, Libby, you can't do any of these things. You're pregnant. You're married.
The only one I was really worried about was the horse.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, well, I guess you can do it.
I was going to say, because her sister can do the other ones that she can't do.
Yeah, so Libby's like, okay, well, you can do it for us. And Nora's like, what?
I don't want to ride a horse.
And yeah, she's like, I'm deathly afraid of horses. Like,
Ruby is too.
Yeah, so she's like, well, we'll figure it out. Okay. She's like, okay. And they get there, they're staying in this little bitty cabin, like, little cottage out on the edge of town. And it's beautiful, it sounds like, and open, wide open. So much different than New York, you know. And Nora really thinks it's beautiful. She really does, but it's just not her kind of place. You know?
She wants the buildings and the lights.
And the noise. She can't sleep there. She's like, I need the noise.
The danger. I'm just joking.
Yeah, and so Libby can't, you know, she needs a nap when they get there. So
she does. She's pregnant.
So Nora decides to head into the town. She's got to walk. They don't have a car, you know, and she's like, there's one cab in this town. That's so she's cute, like, though. I'm just going to walk into town. And Libby takes a nap, and she gets to the town, and she's like, uh-oh. It's
no
not as cute as the book. None of those things.
No coffee.
No, she ends up at a coffee shop. How funny.
That was my thing. No coffee.
I know, yeah. That would be a nightmare.
Yeah, going home.
Yeah. I would find a way. But she does stop in a coffee shop. But it's just, she's like, oh God, Libby's going to be disappointed. This town doesn't look like the book described it. Like, it's cute enough, but it's nothing here.
It's not romantic.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the places that were listed in the book. It's a book. It wasn't real. Yeah.
Well, and I feel like a lot of authors, not even to, like, their thing, but, like, you paint your own picture.
Yeah, and it's just, she picked a place and went with it. She didn't really describe.
And then painted
describe
a picture, mm-hmm. and then us readers looked at it and then painted our own picture.
Yeah, exactly. That's a hard one to match up.
Yeah, that is hard. Very few places match what's in your head. I will say, though, for your A Court of Thorns and Roses readers, Breckenridge, Colorado, at nighttime is exactly what I imagine.
Oh, well, that's good.
Valeri's.
That doesn't happen very often.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so she stops in the coffee shop, and it's kind of busy, but, like, you know, for this small town. she sees a man that she thinks looks familiar, and she's like, am I losing it? Like, I'm in the middle of nowhere. And then she keeps thinking, no, it really looks like her nemesis, Charlie. And so she kind of hides.
Okay, but, like, if you don't even know what he really looks like,
well, it's been a couple years since she's actually seen him. And so she hides. And I think she's kind of losing it from the trip and stuff. And so
she hides.
Yeah. And then so she sends him an email. And before even thinking about it, he's an editor. So, like, you know, so, like, she's promoting her authors. She sends him a Yeti erotica book.
Hey, there is a type.
He goes, and so she wants to, like, see if he responds. And she's like, well, he does. He pulls out his phone and, like, looks at it. And she's like, maybe that was just a coincidence. So she, like, keeps responding. And he keeps responding. And he's like, it's 99 cents. And she's like, Venmo's him 99 cents. He's like, I have 99 cents. I'm just saying. He's like, are you sure this is worth it, is what I'm saying. And she's like, yes. And then she's like, shoot, I sent him a Yeti erotica book. And then she thought, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
So it ends up being really funny part of the book. And so they email back and forth, and he's like literally reading it. And she's like surprised that he's reading it. And he's like, what are you sending me?
Hey, we didn't think Ice Planet Barbarians was going to be a big thing. And look at it.
I know. And you that's know what's that, funny about you know it. That I thought promoter about that.
Was like, what are... No.
Yeah.
And she was like, trust me.
It's got like 20 books.
Trust me. And now it's huge and everywhere.
I know.
It's so funny. Read the Yeti erotica. I thought erotica, about that too. Roll your eyes and promote the book.
I thought about that too. Though it's not that far off. No. Like, it could be a thing someday.
I follow this one group. It's called The Smuthead on Facebook. There's like dinosaur.
Ew.
Smut. And it's like the velociraptor, the raptor.
I mean, really, the Yeti could be, like, a big man.
No, this has, like, an actual dinosaur on the front.
Well, I know, but that's like, animal. That's, just like, saying. Almost animal shit. But the Yeti, you could almost understand. I didn't want to read it.
I can't almost understand a Yeti.
It could be a big man.
It could maybe, be. But it I don't trust be. People. I'd be like, it could be a big man. But I think it's a Yeti. And then you're going to read it and go, no, it's going to be a big bearded guy. You're going to get halfway and be like, it's a Yeti.
Yeah. I know. I think it's so funny that he read this.
It is funny.
But
at some point, also, sometimes you're committed and you're like, we'll see it through.
So she is emailing him back and forth. And let me find where I was.
It's a lot.
But okay. So they... okay, so I do like their email back and forth, but he mentions that at some point during this that her nickname is the shark.
There was a fly.
Okay.
Sorry.
And she's like shocked. She's like, nobody calls me that. He's like, yeah, they do.
I don't know if I would find that flattering.
No, she didn't like it.
Okay.
She was like, what? Nobody calls me that. He's like, yeah. You go for what you want. And she's like...
Oh, how dare she?
Yeah, she's like, well, okay. But she didn't know people called her that. So that's what upsets her. And she sees herself different than...
Most people do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
But she's... They email, like, back and forth all night. Well, after a few days, Nora and Libby, they go to a local restaurant bar called Papa Squats. And they just stand there and they're like, what's a Papa Squat?
Oh, no.
Is it a person?
Yes. Papa Squatty.
So that's pretty funny. But they don't like hardcore make fun of small towns, but there's like a little bit here and there. You know? Yeah, and it kind of makes sense. Yeah. I mean, we're from a small town. It is goofy a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And
but you don't realize it's goofy until you're older and you're like, oof.
Yeah, but it's a good balance of...
Please don't run down the street in that polar bear costume.
Yeah, no. If only that's what it was. Oh, man. But, so Libby's got to go to the bathroom after they sit there for a while. And, like, they, you know, they really describe the restaurant. The waitress is like, oh, are you sure you want to order a salad? And she's like, not now. Yeah. But it's just funny, I think Nora's funny. like straightforwardness.
There's a place in the world for those people.
And so while Libby's in the bathroom, Nora checks her email. And her main client, the one that wrote the hit book, has sent her a few pages of her new book. And they're needing this new book soon because her other book's movie is coming out soon. Mm. So they want her to have another book to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts reading the book, and it's this, the main character is like no-nonsense, hardworking woman who only cares about the job and fires her assistant because she's pregnant. And like is just a mean businesswoman. Well, they call her the shark.
Mm.
And her vision like goes in and she's like, what? Like, what is this?
Well, especially since that's she while she's hanging out with her pregnant sister.
Yeah.
Taking care of
her. Yeah, she's like, what?
Yeah.
Why are you talking about me?
Like, there, it might be surprising to y'all, but women can wear many hats.
Yes. You know? Oh, my gosh. So, at one point in the book, she says something. She's like, here's the thing about being a woman. There's no good way to be one.
Oh, my God.
And it just, like, hit, I was like, oh, my gosh. That's so good.
Yes. Loved that.
And so she, since she's like in this world of what the hell is going on, how is she writing a book about me? How do so many people, or is it about me? How many people know I'm called mm-hmm. the shark? Why is she talking about me like this? So she's not even paying attention. And she goes up to the bar and gets a drink and Charlie's up there. And then he's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, what are you doing here? Because he didn't know she was there. She knew he was there.
Okay, yeah. You know? That's right. He didn't see her.
He didn't see her.
He was reading Yeti porn.
Yes. Okay. And you sent me that, and, you know, and he's like, what are you doing here? And she describes him as he looks like he always does, perfectly dressed, controlled, and like he wants to bite my thigh.
Goodness. Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. All women know what that means. Our women can see that guy. I thought that
Say
was
it
so...
slower.
I thought that was so funny. So I like Charlie.
You are so red. It's not even real life. You didn't even look at you that way. And you're already red. Goodness.
I turn red all the time. I know. But they, so then they end up hanging out. And her sister comes by and is like, oh, well, I gotta go home, you know, because her sister thinks this
is gonna be the small town.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. She doesn't know who Charlie is. And she's like, oh, I gotta go. Wink, wink. And Charlie's like, what
like
is that?
Yeah. I'm gonna head out.
Charlie saw it, of course, and was like, what was that? And she's like, nothing. She's insane. And so then they end up playing pool. Their back and forth is so good because they're both business people and they won't give anything, but they're like flirting and they're like, it's good.
So the author understood chemistry.
Yeah.
I love when they can put chemistry in words.
Yeah.
Where they're not even real. You're not watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And yet somehow this author has made you believe mm-hmm. that these two people that you can't even see
yeah.
have chemistry.
And are such different characters.
I love that.
It's really good. And I love their chemistry, like you're saying. And yeah, the back and forth. And then finally, they'll give each other something. So she's...
Just enough.
Yeah. Okay. She says she's here with her sister because her sister, you know, the whole thing. And then he says, I'm from here.
Okay.
So she gets it.
Yeah.
This is why you didn't like the book.
Because it was small town.
His town. So we go into his story. We go into her story. I mean, for a rom-com, this is a lot.
Sometimes they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes they surprise you.
And it's like pretty deep at times. And it makes you really think about relationships in your life and where people come from and mm-hmm. how they end up who they are. And so like we find out that his dad isn't really his dad. And growing up in a small town, the other kids didn't really understand that.
Been there.
And it was rough on him and his sister. And the kids were awful. But, like, we do meet his family. And what he's doing there is he's helping his mom run their bookstore. And he's working from there, you know, being an editor. But he's helping the mom run the bookstore that's been in their family for, like, four generations. And his dad, who's, you know, not really his dad, but is his dad, just had a stroke.
Mm.
So she can't do it all. And then they meet the mom, and she's like, Nora explains her as she smells like jasmine and pot all the time. So she's like a real free spirit, which makes Charlie kind of make sense.
Yes.
To be so buttoned up and so uh-huh. with it is like he's...
You normally do turn yeah, out the opposite.
He's keeping it together.
Which is weird when you have married a spouse that's not much like you, because yeah. then where are your kids going to fall?
Yeah. Well, and then Libby does say stuff like that throughout the book of like, Nora, you need somebody different than you. Mm-hmm. But Charlie isn't different than her.
I don't think that that's always
and
the
that's
case.
What she said. Yeah. Eventually, she's like, I don't think that's for me.
Yeah. Eventually, sometimes you don't want that. Sometimes you yeah. do want somebody that also is going to be busy 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And that understands why you have to answer this work email at the dinner table. Because they do too.
Yeah.
I don't feel like life is, you need this. I think that you find out when you find out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And so Libby decides the business they're going to save is this bookstore. And Libby puts, like, her whole self into this. And Nora's like, what is she doing this for? Yeah. Like, I understand that, like, Charlie's a decent guy and his family is fun. But, like, Nora, like, Libby loves his family and, like, loves this bookstore. And Nora's like, what are we doing? You know? And finally, at the end, it comes out what they're doing.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is Libby sick?
No, I thought that too.
Is Libby's husband having an affair?
No, but Nora did think they were getting a divorce at one point, uh-huh. and that's what they were doing here. And Nora's like, I will figure it out for her. I will do whatever I got to do. We will raise those kids together. No, Nora wants, or Libby wants to move to this little town. She wants to get out of the city. Yeah. Yeah. So she finally is like, oh my God, that's what it is. That's what all
I've been
of
helping
this
you
is.
Escape this whole time.
Yeah. And she's trying to convince Nora to love it with all these little tasks, you know?
Yeah.
All of it throughout. But there's so much more to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Nora and Charlie work on the new book together.
But at this point, if Charlie's doing it there.
Yeah.
Nora can too, right? If she wants to move with her sister. If she doesn't want to move.
She can't leave the city though.
Okay. So then what happens?
I mean, I really thought this one wasn't going to be a happy ending. Like I thought, oh, it's going to be real life.
He has to stay there and she
doesn't want to
leave.
He has to stay there. Yeah. And so he's like, I have to. I can't leave. I can't leave them. This is, and she's like, what about your, he's a city person too. Like yeah. he doesn't want to be there. And so at the very end, Libby is like, what, have you got my gift yet? Because on their mom's birthday, they go back to the bookstore and they buy a book that she would have loved.
Yeah.
And cute. Yeah. And then he walks in and grabs the same book as her. But she's so like into the book that she doesn't look at him for a minute.
Been there.
She's like, excuse me, like ready to fight. And it's him. And aww. He's like, she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, they all showed up with a PowerPoint. He's like, you would have fucking loved it. It was so put together. And
I would have loved it?
No, he says okay. that to her. Like, he's like, you would have fucking loved it. And that Libby is going to help run the bookstore and help the family and all that. And which I didn't think of as a possibility because Libby's got a baby on the way. And
yeah, but
stuff.
She grew up in a bookstore. Why yeah, yeah, her
yeah.
baby?
Yeah. And so that's the thing. The kids are going to go there with her. She's going to yeah. open it every day.
Especially in a small town.
And she loves his family.
Yeah.
And Nora's like, I thought you said only family could run it. And he's like, well, they're hoping someday.
Stop.
I know. And there's so many more points to the whole book. Like, there's points that Nora can't cry. And we get to the point where she can't. Like, she hadn't cried in 10 years since her mom died. Because she's been holding it together so mm-hmm. much. We get to the point where she can. There's like yeah. all these little steps. You see the sister dynamic. Libby doesn't see her mom as exciting and magical. She sees her as a mess and barely keeping it together. And that's so true. Mm-hmm. Siblings can see things completely different
mm-hmm.
growing up.
Yep.
I agree with that. She's kind of had moments she was mad at Nora for covering it up for their mom and making it better for their mom. Mm-hmm. And Emma said she's had that with me before.
Oh.
You know? So, like, that's a real feeling that
people
have. But
I also feel like as the older sibling,
you feel like you have to.
You fix it.
Yeah. It's in you.
You know? I mean, like, you just fix it.
Yeah.
This isn't supposed to be here. This isn't... You're not supposed to see this. You fix it.
Yeah. I know.
And so...
It just really, like, makes you think about relationships of all kinds and people and where you're going in life and what people want out of life. And it's just so crazy. I mean, it really stuck with me, this little rom-com, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the characters were really good. I liked it a lot.
So do they get together at the end?
Yeah.
Okay. Does she move or does he just come to the
city? No, he moves back to the city.
Okay.
Because Libby's going to run the bookstore. And
I'm sure they'll be back all the time.
Yeah. All the holidays so and everything.
So you would recommend it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. To who?
I mean, probably everybody, but mostly people that like rom-coms, okay. I would say. Yeah.
Is it a summer read? It sounds like a beach read.
I think it would be good in the summer because they're there in August, mm-hmm. and they talk about how warm it is and the flowers, and it does feel summery to me.
What would you rate it?
Probably a 4.5. I mean, maybe even more because for a rom-com, I mean, it's close to a 5. I mean,
wow.
I think Goodreads gives it a 4.8. That's pretty good.
What was it called?
Book Lovers.
Book Lovers.
It's a happy book and...
Not Book Lockers.
Nope.
Not Book Lockers again.
I did almost cry in a couple parts too.
Why?
Just the sister thing, you know?
Goodreads is a 2.5 and Target's a 4.85.
Okay, maybe it was Target. 2.5?
4.2. Sorry.
Okay, goodness. I was like, that's horrible!
I thought it was good. No, 4.2 out of 5. And then Target is a 4.8 out of 5. And that's really all. It doesn't say what it got on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anything like that. But it sounds really cute.
It came out in May, so of 2022. It's fairly new, but I think it's so good.
Oh, Amazon, 4.6 out of 5.
See?
Yeah, they did give it a pretty good job.
I like it. I didn't expect to as much as I did. I don't really like rom-coms that much. I like romance.
Okay. But you like
this
watching
rom-coms.
This is
close to romance.
You watch the Hallmark
things. Yeah, I watch them. Yeah.
You, on Netflix, you like the rom-coms. Yeah.
But reading it, I feel you get more into it than watching. And reading it, sometimes it's too fucking happy, like we're mm-hmm. saying. Like she's saying. But mm-hmm. this one's got a little more. Yeah.
But Donna Fletcher books are like that, too, yeah. where it's like, but also I think sometimes she has a little bit more going on, too,
mm-hmm.
because usually it does not start off very happy.
No.
There's usually somebody
yeah.
dead or abused.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got to get through it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's true.
And we just love it.
Yeah, I know. It's got to be a little realistic. Life ain't that happy, man.
Yeah. Well, and it's always like she gets through it by just being in her garden,
mm-hmm.
minding her business.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
exactly. Doesn't like people that much.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Leave me alone and let me garden. That's what I need my shirt to say.
Yeah.
Leave me alone and let me garden. Well, that was cute.
It's very good. I think there's a lot more to it that I didn't get to, you know?
Okay. I left some stuff for us.
Even some of the story I left out. Like, it has more to it, but there are moments that are really good with their relationship. I can't explain their relationship. It's such, like you're saying, chemistry in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. They're good.
Love a good chemistry.
Yeah, I like them. I like him a lot.
All right,
he's a good book boyfriend.
Well, there you have it. That was excellent storytelling, Sarah.
Oh, good.
Book Lovers, brought to you by an author.
Emily Henry, I believe.
Emily Henry, she believes, and told by Sarah.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week. Bye, readers.
Bye.